Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 7 to 19. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our Savior, with whom we are partners in the faith, dear fellow redeemed. Last weekend we celebrated the 4th of July. So what does that mean to you besides fireworks? Does it mean looking back in the past, maybe going all the way back to revolutionary days, the birth of our nation, and the Constitution was being written? What do we think of all the wars that were fought in our country that gave us the many blessed freedoms that we enjoy? What do we contemplate about the famous people, the presidents, the generals, the leaders, the politicians, and those who made the country it is today? It's appropriate when we have these civil holidays to look back upon the past and to thank God for all the many, many freedoms and blessings that he's given to us in this great nation of ours. We also need to look back and learn. Learn from our American forefathers. Learn from their successes as well as from their failures and their past mistakes. And that's the theme to this morning's text. Lessons from the past. Our wilderness walk and encouragement for today. The letter to the Hebrews is written to Hebrew Christians. They were Jewish by nationality, been brought to faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, and the Savior. But this time, they were enduring some trials, some tests, some persecutions from two different areas. Persecutions from their fellow Jews who didn't believe in Jesus, and from the Roman government and the Roman people because of their faith in Jesus Christ. So these trials and tribulations and persecutions were coming from two fronts. How would they respond? How would they react? Would they give up that joy and that peace and that they hope that they had found in Christ? Would they forsake all that they've been told about God's word? Would they give in to the temptations and murmur and complain against God and say, why is this happening to us? And then in so doing, test and provoke the Lord. Well, the author of the Hebrews spends much of his letter, this wonderful letter, encouraging, warning, admonishing, exhorting, and comforting his Jewish brothers and sisters to stay the course, to remain firm and steadfast in Jesus Christ as the Lord and the Savior, the high priest of their salvation, or as we heard last Sunday, the captain. the author, the pathfinder of our salvation, Jesus. He encourages them not to forsake so great a salvation and Savior, because it's the only Savior and salvation that there is. In our text this morning, the author of the Hebrews is encouraging the Christians of his day, as well as all of us, with an Old Testament example. An example from their ancestry that clearly shows what transpired when followers were tested and tried, but they gave up. They gave in. And they disobeyed. We all know the story very well. It's in our Sunday school lessons. After some 400 years being in Egypt, many of those years in slavery, God finally, with 10 powerful plagues, let the people go. They left, got to the Red Sea, and God had them walk through the Red Sea on dry ground. He fed them rashly day by day with the miracle bread, manna, and quail. They got to Mount Sinai, and God made a covenant with them, a covenant based upon his law. He says, you be faithful and obedient to me, and I'll be faithful to you. And God kept his side of the covenant. Israelites failed theirs almost immediately. Before Moses even came down with the Ten Commandments, they had sinned and were guilty of idolatry. Well, shortly before they got to Mount Sinai, the Israelites were in the wilderness and they ran out of water. But instead of trusting the Lord, who had never failed them in the past, they began to murmur and complain against both Moses and the Lord, saying, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Is the Lord among us or not? So in this time of testing of their faith and their love for the Lord, they failed miserably, and they rebelled against him. And in so doing, they tested, tried, and provoked the Lord. And then sometime later, they're at the very doorstep, the very edge of the promised land, whom God had guaranteed to give them. The Lord said, I will hand over to you the people of this land. And what did they do? We're told when the 12 spies came back and gave the report, a great report, land was great, flowing milk and honey, but the people were strong, their hearts failed them. They were tall. They were big. We were grasshoppers in their sight. They had fortified cities, powerful armies, and they longed for the slavery of Egypt. They said, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us up to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Let us select a leader and return to Egypt. They failed to take God at his word. They failed to trust him, to believe his promises. And so they rebelled against him. They tested and tried him again and provoked him to anger, this time to righteous anger, so that he declared that all of those who were the age of majority, 20 years or older, would never set foot in the promised land. The Lord declared, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. And so it happened. Over the next 40 years, one by one, the Israelites fell by the wayside. Their dead bodies, serious, strong, stark warnings, reminders, lessons of disobedience and unbelief. What a powerful lesson for their children as they saw their grandparents and their parents die over those 40 years. We pray the lesson is learned by all of us as well. The author of the Hebrews quotes a couple times from Psalm 95. The psalmist in his day directed his people back to that Old Testament event, so they learned from history. Now the author to the Hebrews, in the New Testament times, directs his people to that Old Testament event to learn from history. And this morning, we're directing our eyes and hearts to the same event for us to learn. And our first point is, hear his word today. Twice the words are quoted, today if you'll hear his voice. What an appropriate encouragement. But do we need to hear God's voice? Well, all we need to do is look back to the past and see what happens when you don't hear his voice. Look out there. See, behold, all those rotting corpses laid in the wilderness, dead, because they refused to hear and obey God's voice. Maybe they said things like, oh, we're just too busy. Oh, we thought it wasn't important enough. We just didn't feel in the mood. We don't have the time. Perhaps they were spiritually lazy, spiritually indifferent. No, God says, today, hear his voice. Today, listen to our Savior's voice. Every day is today. Tomorrow may be too late. God said to the Israelites, go into the promised land, I'll be with you, you'll take over, and you will conquer them all. They said no, they refused, and there was no tomorrow. Tomorrow is not assured to any of us. Thank God that we are here today, listening to his word. First, the word that convicts us of our sins. It's the word that creates faith in our heart by telling us that Jesus is the only Savior of mankind, that sinful people have been forgiven and washed clean by his shed blood. It's the word that converts us from unbelieving headed for death, unbelievers headed for death, to believers headed for life. It's the word in the sacraments that feeds our heart and our faith to make it strong and alive. Separate ourselves from the word of God, and you're committing spiritual suicide. Just as surely as someone who stops eating and drinking. The only result can be eternal death. Secondly, we learn from our text, do not harden your hearts with disobedience. Israel's sin was disobedience. They hardened their heart against God. They no longer trusted him. They no longer took him at his word, even though they had seen over and over and over again his miracles, his signs, his wonders, how he supported them, defended them, took care of them, delivered them. They turned deaf ears to God's words and blind eyes to his wonders. They tested, they provoked the Lord with their hardened heart. So Israel was being tested in the wilderness, and they failed miserably. These Jewish Christians, during the time of the writing of the author of Hebrews, were also being tested and tried. And for the most part, they responded with faithfulness, with obedience, with joy, with confidence, with zeal to serve the Lord. We as individual Christians, and as a congregation of Christians, are also tested every day. Every morning when you get up, your faith, your love, your trust, your confidence in the Lord is being tested. Are we going to take him in his word in our activities, in our actions, in our decisions. When sorrow and suffering and illnesses and bad things happen to us, do we firmly believe God's promise that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose? Do we put our trust in the Lord of life, that heavenly physician of body and soul, so when things happen we say, your will be done, not mine? When tempted by this world's evils, whether it be immorality, cursing, drunkenness, gambling, disobedience to parents, laziness at work, selfishness towards our spouse, gossiping or hurting our neighbor, not gathering together around God's word, or when the trials of life pile up on us, do we turn to Jesus and to his word for the strength to say no and not fall? Or when we do fall, do we turn to Jesus with repentant hearts, looking for that forgiveness? Look out. Watch out for the same snare, the same temptation that happened to the Israelites who refused to listen to the Lord, to take him at his word, and end up in disobedience and unbelief. And thirdly, the author of Hebrews encourages us, be partakers of Christ from beginning to the glorious end. We are told, exhort, encourage one another daily. If we isolate ourselves from one another as Christians, or as the body of Christ, believers in Jesus Christ, and from his word, we'll be easy prey for Satan. But we continue to gather together with our like-minded Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, around the word of God, and then we'll grow in grace and holiness. So we need to encourage each other. Encourage each other in our coming to hear the word of God consistently and continually. Encourage each other in our walk of faith, looking to Jesus as Lord and Savior, and serving him with our time and talents and treasures. Encourage one another to remain steadfast and faithful in our callings and our jobs. Encourage each other to be faithful to our spouse, faithful to our children, and help those who are in need. The author says we are made partakers, literally partners with Christ. His righteousness is now our righteousness through faith. His life is our life. We share in his glory so that through him we can glory in his forgiving love. It's only by being partners in Christ and remaining in Christ and his word that we can remain steadfast from the beginning to the very end. This is one more time at those Israelites. They were not yet home. We too have not yet reached the Canaan above. We too have been set free from the slavery of sin. Through Jesus Christ, the bonds of death and the devil have been broken and destroyed. Jesus, through his word, daily showers blessings upon us as we walk through this wilderness of life. But as we walk this wilderness of life, the Lord tests our faith, tests our love, tests our confidence. And Satan, of course, and sin attack us day by day. Sins that look so appealing but are really revolting, they're in front of us all the time. Sins that promise fulfillment and life and freedom, but in all actuality give us emptiness, slavery, and death. They lay in our path everywhere we look. May this Bible lesson of the past live in our hearts, especially in these last days as we get closer and closer to going to paradise and the Lord's return. Remember, the Israelites had crossed the whole desert. They had gotten there. They were within a short distance from the promised land, so close. And yet they fell and fell away. May we continue steadfast in Christ and in his word from the beginning of our journey in this wilderness of life to the end. that glorious and blessed end of heaven. I walk with Jesus all the way. His guidance never fails me. Within his wounds I find a stay when Satan's power assails me. And by his footsteps led, my path I safely tread. In spite of ills that threaten me, I walk with Jesus all the way. May walk is heavenward all the way. Await, my soul, the morrow, when thou shalt find release for a from all thy sin and sorrow. All worldly pomp be gone. To heaven I now press on. For all the world I would not stay. My walk is heavenward all the way. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.